Pastor Hyden mentioned, we've been in this series, Christmas at the Movies, and I think that that A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens is just such a fitting movie to conclude the series on the last Sunday of the year. Charles Dickens wrote this this poetry. It was really a short story in 1843, and it's been made into into about 10 different movies. In fact, I think the most recent movie was made in 2020. And there's even a movie starring Donald Duck, and he stars as Scrooge McDuck in the Disney version. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. But Charles Dickens wrote this script because he wanted to inspire people to make Christmas a time of generosity and a time of charity. And so for those of you who haven't seen the movie, it's really a story about this miserly old man named Ebenezer Scrooge. And Ebenezer Scrooge is a man who's very, very selfish. He's a very wise businessman. And he's visited by these three spirits on Christmas Eve. He's visited by the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of things yet to come. And they each confront him with the life that he's lived and the decisions that he's made. And he eventually transformed through this experience into a kind-hearted and generous man in celebrating the joy of Christmas in relationships. And so today, as we begin here, I just want to focus on Christmas past for my portion. And so Ebenezer Scrooge, as I mentioned, was this highly successful businessman. He was really a self-made man. He was very proud. But that success came at the expense of loneliness and the expense of taking advantage of people. And one of the things that Ebenezer Scrooge realized as the ghost of Christmas past took him throughout his life and the life that he had lived, and he saw all of the decisions that he's made that led him to be the person that he is he realized that life was short. He realized that his days were numbered, and his life flashed before his eyes in a sense, and he realized that he had neglected all of the things in life that mattered the most. And so, we look and we see this movie, we see that he's neglected his relationships. We see that he's neglected his family. He's neglected being generous. He's neglected opportunities to make a difference in the world for good. And so, it's at that moment that he realized that his days were numbered, and suddenly his life and his time became very precious to him. Excuse me. And so what I want to do is I want to take a look at a scripture this morning and lead us in a time of prayer. I want to look at what is the oldest psalm in the Bible. It's Psalm 90, and I want to look at verse 12. And Psalm 90 was written by Moses. And so Moses is the man who led the Egyptians out of Egypt into the wilderness. He led them out of slavery. Moses met face to face with God. And Moses actually wrote the first five books of the Bible. He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the giving of the law. Moses was a man who had lived a long life and had acquired much wisdom. And so Moses writes this psalm near the end of his life. And I think that his words are very instructive for us as we think about the life that we've lived, as we reflect even on this past year. I think that this is a prayer that's a good prayer for us to pray as we go into 2025. Are you guys ready? Let's go ahead and take a look at Psalm 90, verse 12. I want to read it together. One, two, three, go. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Moses realized as he looked back over his life that the years and the days and the months are gone. He can't get them back. And Moses knows that if we are wise enough to number our days, then we would not live a life of regret for the things that we've done in this life and for the things that we've failed to do. And here's what I think it means to number our days. I think, number one, it means to live our life in light of eternity. Right? Come on, our life is short. The Bible says that our life is but a vapor. Right? That it's here 1 minute, it's gone the next, it's so short. And what we do in this life matters in the next. Amen? I think that if we live our life with that reality in mind, I think that's how we number our days. I think that we make each day count. Right? To number our days means to live each day with the knowledge that you're never going to get it back. Right? Come on, the past is gone. Church started this morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. is gone. We're here. We're in this moment. But how we live in the past matters. We can't go back and change it. We can't get it back. That's what it means to number our days. And so therefore, we should do as much good as we can while we can. And I think that we should also glorify God with our life as much as we are able to do. And so as we head into this new year, I want to pray with Moses that we would get a heart of wisdom. I think that a wise person will do these things. And I believe that part of numbering our days is even looking back over the past year and just remembering and reflecting on all that the Lord has done. Come on, has the Lord been good? He's been good. Even though we've gone through some hard times, I realize that some of us are here and we're not as joyous as maybe others in the room. But come on, God has still been good. Amen? And so let's just go back and let's just begin even now just to remember. I'd even say just close your eyes right now and just begin to reflect back. Over this past year, a lot has happened. And just begin to remember what the Lord has done for you. Let's pray. Father, we just want to take a moment, and God, we just want to give you glory. God, we want to thank you for this past year. God, that you've done so many good things for us. You've done so many amazing things for us. God, even this morning, you woke us up. God, you give us breath in our lungs even now that we are sitting here in this room together. God, you've given us life. God, you've provided for our every need. God, you've given us food. You've given us shelter. God, you've given us clothing. God, you've given us family and friends. God, you've given us so many good things. God, even as I just think of Walk Church for a moment, Father, you've given us the privilege to see 78 people get baptized this year. God, there's been so much life change here at Walk Church. God, we just want to take a moment and recognize that. God, we want to give you glory for that. God, you deserve it. God, I just want to praise you and thank you for all of the people here at Walk Church that you have entrusted into our care. God, you are so good. God, we want to praise you for every good gift that you give us. James 1:17 says this. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. There's no variation with God. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Come on, and every single good gift that we get to experience in this life is a gift from God. Even as we hear the voices of children laughing, God, that gives us joy. That's a gift from you. God, the beauty of a sunset, a cool breeze on a warm day. God, in Las Vegas, we're grateful for the winters as we get a break from the heat of summer. God, we recognize that all of these things come from you. God, every good thing, every gift, every joy that we have in this life is a gift from your good hand. God, a great and deep friendship, the smile of a friend, good conversations that enrich our souls. God, music and good tasting food. God, it all comes from you. And God, this year we've gained new friendships. God, you've done so much for us. God, you gave us life. You sustained us. God, you forgive us. Come on, anyone in the room bold enough to say what God has done for you this year? How has God cared for you this year? God, you've given us peace. God, even in the storm, you've given us peace. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. God, even when we have turned our backs on you and we've run away, God, you've pursued us. You left the 99 to come after the one. God, we praise you that you're merciful. God, you've been merciful. You've been faithful in our life. God, you keep your promises. God, you've been gracious to us. You've forgiven us. Yeah, God, you've given us a love that casts out all fear. God, you've given us a supernatural peace that surpasses understanding at times. God, you provided for our every need. And so, God, as we think about this past year, God, we praise you for it. We remember, God, all that you've done for us. As we move into this next point, I think that one of the things that may come into our mind when we think about this past year, as we remember all that God has done, sometimes we can also remember the things that we've done, right? All of us have sinned this year. We look back over this year, and there may be things that we're ashamed of. There's things that we've done this year that we regret. And so I think one of the things that's powerful, one of the things that I think numbering our days includes is even looking back and just confessing those times of sin to the Lord. And so I want to do that together now, and you don't have to do it out loud, but I do want to read the scripture. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says this. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come on, somebody say forgive. Somebody say cleanse. Come on, isn't that great news this morning? Forgiveness and cleansing from our sin is available to us. And so let's just take a moment now and just confess our sins. We're going to do this silently, and you don't have to say it out loud, but just in your heart, just begin to think if there's anything that you need to confess to the Lord and get right this morning. Let's pray. Father, we continue to pray this morning as we look back over this past year. And God, we do just want to confess. God, as your word says that we all fall, God, we all sin in many ways. God, this year we have sinned in our thought life. God, we have sinned in our attitude. And God, we have sinned in our actions. God, your word says that it's against you and you only have we sinned. And so, Father, we want to confess our sin before you. And so I just want to have just a moment of silence in your own heart. Just speak to the Lord. Just take a moment and listen to what the Lord might be revealing to you in this moment. The word says, search me, Lord, and see if there is any wicked way in me. God, search my heart right now. God, we want to live a life that's pleasing in your sight. God, as we go into 2025, we want to live a life that pleases you. And God, even as we think of the ways that we failed you this year, God, we claim the promise of 1 John 1:9, God, that if we confess our sin, that you're faithful and you're just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we thank you for the blood of your son, Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, that makes this forgiveness available to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you took all of our guilt, you took all of our shame, you took all of our sin upon yourself on the cross. And we thank you for the forgiveness that purchased for us. In Jesus' name. And the last thing, I just want to pray, this last prayer point, I want to pray with Moses. Just want to pray this, that the Lord would teach us to number our days. That we would live in light of eternity. Live in a way that we know that every day, every moment matters. Let's pray. Lord, teach us to number our days. God, we only have so many days. Your word says that all of our days were numbered in your book before there was even one of them. God, you've set limitations that we can't go beyond. And so, God, every day counts. God, I pray that you would help us to number our days with our families. God, for those of us with little children, Lord, they'll soon be gone. They'll soon be out of our homes. God, I pray that you would help us to make each day count. God, I pray even with our friendships, God, that you would help us to number our days. God, to be the kind of friends that we ought to be. God, with our careers and our career choices, God, I pray that we would number our days. God, I pray with so many distractions and so many different things out there that are just ready to rob our time. God, whether it's social media, scrolling, or just watching videos, God, there's so many different things out there that can rob our time. God, I pray that you would teach us to number our days when it comes to how we spend our time. Your word says, make the best use of your time because the days are evil. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, that you would teach us to number our days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike. My name is Pastor Wes, and we're going to be transitioning in this movie to The Ghost of Christmas Present. We're going to be looking at what's happening right now with Scrooge. And so Ebenezer Scrooge, the ghost, picks him up, whisks him away, takes him to Bob Cratchit's house. Now, Bob is one of the employees of Ebenezer Scrooge. In fact, when the ghost takes him outside of his house and they're there, Ebenezer's thinking, like, I pay this guy too much. And it's a small, meager place. And he's like, just so greedy. And in the Christmas present, Scrooge begins to see his apathy and how his greed is affecting others. And as we go into this, I want to ask this question. How are we living in the present to care for others, show compassion, and express gratitude? Compassion and gratitude. As we talk about gratitude, one of the first things that we see in this scene is Ebenezer Scrooge looking on to the family. The family's enjoying a Christmas dinner. And in fact, they have this little small goose, and they're all around. It's warm and joyful in this house, and they're giving thanks to God for what they have. Even though it's just a small amount of what they have, they're giving thanks to God. In fact, Ebenezer Scrooge looks at this in a rather bad way, says, it is a very small goose. Let me ask you, how many of you, don't raise your hands, received a gift this Christmas, maybe, and you thought, oh, another coffee mug. Thank you. Are we grateful? Do we show gratitude in the small things? Here, the Cratchit family, in their warmth and love, pray to God. We also see in this scene intentional honor. Bob toasts Scrooge. Now, Scrooge is notoriously unkind, just not very nice, super meager, holds everything and hoards everything to himself. And Bob Cratchit raises a toast to his employer. Now, Scrooge is there, but they don't know that. They can't see him. And so, just out of his own heart, he's grateful for what he has. He's grateful for the job he has, for the family, for everything that God's provided to him, even in difficult situations. True gratitude can acknowledge blessings, even when they come through difficult or stingy people. Let that one sink in for a second. Because most of the time when we receive something from a stingy person, it can be $1 million. We're like, still complaining about it. A grateful spirit does not ignore reality, but chooses to honor what is good. And that's what Bob is showing here. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap, for with measure you use it will be measured back to you. How often are we grateful? Do we show gratitude to God and to others? Whether it's something small or something big, do we express a heart of gratitude? Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're going to spend some time in prayer, but I want you to think of this question as we do. What blessings might you be taking for granted right now? Family, friends, health, a loving church body. What are we taking for granted for? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you with a heart of gratitude, knowing that everything comes and is provided by you. Lord, the breath in our lungs, Lord, your love, your compassion, Lord, we are grateful for you. Help us to develop a posture of thankfulness, Lord, even in difficult times, Lord, that our gratitude fosters humility and reminds us all that we have is ultimately a gift from you. Let's fill in that blank. Lord, I am grateful for. I'm grateful for your love. I'm grateful for your guidance. What are you grateful for today? I am grateful for family. Lord, I'm grateful for the difficult times. Can we be truly grateful with a heart of gratitude for difficult times? Teach me to rejoice, Lord, in every circumstance. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Lord, I am grateful for. Lord, I'm grateful for the sun in the morning, the warm rays on my cheek. Lord, I'm grateful for your protection. Lord, I'm grateful for your word, that I might know you better through it. Lord, I'm thankful for neighbors. Lord, I'm thankful for opportunities and grateful for opportunities that you open. Lord, help me to be grateful in all things with a heart of gratitude, showing love to others. Lord, I am grateful for your love. I am grateful for your son who died on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The second thing we see in this scene is compassion. Tiny Tim has he has a lot going on. He has a crutch. He has a leg that doesn't work right. He's carried around quite a bit. And when he comes back from the church and his family, Bob Cratchit's his dad, they bring him in and he's got this crutch. One thing that his father tells the mother after this church service that they've been to is Tiny Tim wants everybody in the church to see him, to be able to see that he can't walk, that he's crippled. And he wants this because he wants everybody to be reminded of the power in Christ who can heal the lame to walk and the blind to see. He wants to be an example to others. He's compassionate, even though he's frail and he has his own issues. He wants others to see the love of Christ and the power of Christ, compassion. Matthew 25:40 says, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as it did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" We also see in this scene where the ghost of Christmas present shows him two children. Ebenezer Scrooge is upset by this. He sees ignorance and want. And this is what's happening in society. And how can we be compassionate if we're ignorant? Now, ignorant is not just not knowing about something. It's woefully or willfully not knowing about something, being unaware. It's not just like, oh, I didn't know that was happening. It was like, I'm going to put blinders on. I'm going to cover my ears. I'm going to stick my head in the sand because I don't want to know. This other little one, his name is Want. What usually precedes want? I. When we're talking about I want and our heads in the sand, we're not caring about others. We're not showing compassion to others. 1 John 3:17 says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Genuine compassion compels action. You can't just feel it. You can't just feel it for somebody like, I feel sorry for them or I show pity. That's not compassion. It's got to be compelled to action. You need to do something. It's going to take time and sacrifice from you. Galatians 6:10 says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Heavenly Father, Lord, show me someone today in need. Help me to see someone as you see them. Lord, help me to be compassionate, to love others selflessly. Lord, let my words and actions bring hope to the hurting. Lord, help my heart to be compassionate and my actions to match. Whether it's a family member or a friend or a neighbor, I want you to think about someone right now that might even be difficult to show compassion to. And ask God to soften your heart. Ask God to help you to be compassionate, not in words, but in actions. Because it's going to take sacrifice of time or resources for you to be able to do that. Lord, help us to show compassion to others. As we wrap up Christmas in the present, I want to pray these three prayers over us. Lord, help me focus on the opportunities you've placed before us today and to trust you with tomorrow. Father, guide us to be fully present with those around us, showing them love and attention they need. And God, we surrender our plans to you today, asking that you use us to make a difference in the lives of others. Amen.
No, before I draw near to that stone, answer me this. Are the things you have shown me the shadows of the things that will be? Are they the shadows of the things that may be only?
Well, good morning to you. Let me try it one more time. Good morning to you. My name is Marvin Mumford, and I am the worship pastor here at Walk Church, and I get the privilege to close out this great Christmas story and this incredible series, Christmas at the Movies. Amen. And so Pastor Mike has shared some Scroogeology of the past, having a heart of wisdom, and Pastor Wes just gave you a little bit of a Scroogeification of the present. And I want to share a little bit of this Scroogericity of the future. As we walk into this, walking into grace and mercy, I get the opportunity to talk about the ghost of Christmas future. If you would go with me to Matthew chapter 6, if you would go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 34. And it reads, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And we find in this story, our main character, he's been in the past and he's seen what he's done. And now he's in the present and seeing some of the things that are happening right now. And now as he's in this graveyard, he begins to look forward. And in him looking forward in the future, he becomes very hesitant. He becomes very afraid. And he's becoming afraid of what? The unknown, the future. And for many of us, that's our plight. We are so frustrated about our past that we're carrying on and carrying, and we're not excited about our present, that we get very anxious about tomorrow, about our future. What's going to happen? What's getting ready to go down? And our main character here, he finds himself in a what they would call a pickle. Because he's seen what he's done. He's seen all the things that's happening right now. And as he looks towards the future, his heart begins to change. Why? Because it's unknown. Now, the first two characters in this story, Ghost of Christmas Present and the Ghost of Christmas Past, they talk to him. But the Ghost of Christmas Future never says a word. Why is that? The reason why the Ghost of the Future never says a word, because he can't control the future. Only God can. See, we are going to the wrong people and the wrong things for our future. There are millions upon millions of dollars. I don't know if y'all remember this, but back in the 90s and the early 2000s, there was a lady called Cleo. Call me now. Call me now. And made all the Jamaican family like, come on, it's all you're going to do, though, you know? And so every time you meet somebody, say, oh, do you know Cleo? No, but don't. But everybody wanted to go to call Cleo, because everybody wants to know their future. Everybody wants to know. Why do we want to know? Because we're afraid, if I don't like this, I want to change this. We want to play God. And Scrooge had been playing God all the time. I'm not going to do this, and I don't need to do that, and you should be doing this. We begin to play. Look at somebody and say, hi, my name is Scrooge. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, hi, my name is Scrooge. You look at Scrooge and like, oh man, I would never do that. But on a daily basis, that's what we do. We decline to follow after God. We decline to let God lead our future. We decide what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And so Scrooge is going on and he's like, man, what's happening here? And just like us, we want to know, am I going to get that job? Am I going to find that significant other that will love me? Am I going to be accepted into this school? Is this group going to accept me? We want to know the future instead of going to the God of the future. Let me say that one more time. We want to know the future instead of going to the God of the future. I use this analogy all the time. This is my iPhone. Now, if I take this iPhone and I throw it down, which I have plenty of times, and I break it, I would not take this now. This is not any shade, Pastor Mike. I said this earlier. This is not any shade to anyone that has an Android. But if I break this iPhone, I cannot take it to an Android store. Why? Because they don't work on iPhones. They don't have the schematics. Watch this. They don't have the blueprint. But if I take it to an iPhone, they do. Why is it that we are giving our future over to something else other than God? The one who created us, the one that knows every hair on our head. I said this earlier to Pastor Mike, even the ones that Pastor Mike got. He knows every hair on our head. I got a reality statement I want to share with you today. Watch this right here. If I don't trust God with my tomorrow, I really don't trust him with my today. If I don't trust him with my tomorrow, that means I haven't relinquished some things. That means I'm trying to be God. I'm trying to hold on. And I'm trying to, just like Scrooge. Scrooge was trying to direct everything around him. I got this money. I got this situation. I can do this and I can do that. And you're relying on what you know and what you have. But God is saying to you today, just let it go. Scrooge is in a whole lot of world of trouble right now. He's walking through the graveyard. I don't want to be here. He's afraid. But if, just like you and I, if we would give ourselves over to the one who created the future. See, this is what I love. God, who is outside of time, created time so that he could look into time and show you that he's on time every time. He's not. He knows your beginning and your end all at the same time. He's viewing it all at the same time. So why would I rely on something or someone else to lead me in my future? My past is gone. I can't change that. The present is now. But I don't know what's going to, and so why would I be so anxious? My heart is overwhelmed and overthrown. Watch this right here. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." I love the NLT version. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God's promises. Now, check this out. That promise that we just read, that wasn't for us. It was for the prophet. But I want to tell you this right now. All God's promises are yes and amen for his people. He knows your future. Why? Because he created you. He has a good plan. So we just sang that song. He has good plans. I seen y'all crying. He has good plans. But you already made your plans without God. The Bible tells us right here that he has good plans. Watch this right here. Jeremiah 1:5, just the beginning of that. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you before you were even born. I knew you." Watch this. James 4:13. Watch this. "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, then vanishes." Instead, you ought to say, what's this right here? "If the Lord wills." If the Lord will, if the Lord wills, I'll see you tomorrow, baby. If the Lord's will, I'll meet you over there. If the Lord's will, I don't know what the Lord's will is, but I'm going to trust him with his will. Why? Because I know he has good plans for me. So I would that we would pray this prayer. God, help me trust you with my blank for tomorrow. God, help me trust you with my blank for tomorrow. God, help me trust you with my decisions for tomorrow. Help me trust you with my emotions. Help me trust you with my thoughts. Help me trust you with my heart, my words, my ministry. Help me trust you, God, with this for my tomorrow. What is it that you need to let go of and give it over to God? God, help me trust you with my what? Come on, let me hear you. My expectations for tomorrow. Come on, let me hear you. My marriage. God, help me trust you with my marriage. I'm trying to do it on my own and I keep failing and we'll keep failing and things keep going crazy. God, help me trust you with it. Come on, somebody else. Anxiety, forgiveness. God, help me trust you with this forgiveness, man. God, you seen what they did to me. You know what they said about me, God. And it's hard for me to let that go, but God, I got to give it to you today. Help me trust you with this today, God, as I walk into my tomorrow. You know, the great thing about this next clip I'm going to show you real quickly is that this sums up how God sees you and what God is saying about you. Run this clip for me real quickly.
And God bless us all, everyone.
And God bless us all, everyone.
Let me hear you say that. And God bless us all. And God bless us all what? Everyone. God wants to shower blessings over your life. Now, blessings is always not you getting something. Sometimes the blessing is that God has put you in a difficult situation so that you can draw closer to him. Sometimes blessing is God is taking you somewhere where you really don't want to be, but me being here is making me more like him. That's the blessing. He wants blessings for our lives. Ephesians 1:3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Who wants all those blessings? I want all them. If there's some benefits, Pastor Mike, I want all them. You say, I all them. I want it all. But the only way I can get those blessings is if I surrender my life over to the Lord and allow him to lead. So I want to pray this over you. Heavenly Father, may your blessings reign over us today. Your blessings of peace. Your blessings of wisdom. your blessings of grace and mercy, your blessings of love, your blessings of joy, your blessings of kindness, your blessings of favor and faithfulness, your blessings of longevity and creativity and endurance, your blessings, God, may they rain over us like the rain that falls from the heavens. God, as we close out 2024 on this 52nd Sunday of the year, we want to surrender that to you. And the only way we can allow you to be present in our future, we have to give you our today. And so for you that are in here today and you do not know the Lord, you get the benefit of seeing Scrooge's life from the past, the present, and the future. But you're living your life right now. And just like Scrooge, you have the opportunity for a second chance. He's holding on to that grave. No. And then he wakes up and he's realizing that he's holding on to this bed sheet and he has a second chance. God has given you a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. Come on, God has given you a chance today. Will you take the opportunity to receive the blessing that he wants to give you of salvation? If you're in this building today and you do not know him, I would that you would repeat this prayer after me. Father, I am a sinner. I'm broken and I need you. Would you come into my heart? Would you be my Lord and Savior? Would you rescue me from me? I desire you. I give you my today and I give you my tomorrow. I surrender all. In Jesus' name, amen.